Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. You know, when I speak, you have to be awake. Why? I have questions that I want you to answer. And I'll tell you when I don't want you to answer one, but there's going to be something to answer. And it's good to be with you. I'm Dan Moose, my wife Cheryl, and two of our granddaughters here with us today. And it's, I don't know how long we've been a part of this church. I'm now an elder, and Cheryl and I are the old people in the church. So we do have that distinction. Yeah, Steve's coming along. Steve and Sue, thank you for coming and helping. You know, we need some of us olders, but it's good to be with you. One thing, I'm going to preach and teach today. So if you're just expecting a sermon, it's going to be a little more teaching. And I'm going to be teaching on something that I had a pastor friend named Dean who used to say, you need to preach on this twice a year because all of us as Christians need it. Or as people, not just Christians, people. Also today, I think most of you are from this area, so you've been aware of what's happening in the news, right? We've had a hard hit this last week, and we have another family of faith who is struggling. And today, before we preach, I'd like us to spend some time praying for them because, you know, we sit around here with little kids, and then afterwards, the little kids overwhelm us. Some of those people don't have that this week. And so let's take some time to pray. Father God, we do thank you that you are a gracious God who cares about everything that happens. Father God, we don't understand why you allow evil, but you know, we know you've given us our free will. And Lord, many times those actions by our free will really hurt people. And Father, today we just think of the church family over the Annunciation. We just ask, Lord, that you would minister to that church family in a very unique way. We pray for the parents. We pray for the kids who are hurt and even the adults, and ask, Lord, that your healing touch would be upon them. We pray, Father God, that you would also be with the one who was part of it, the family of the one who was part of it, Father. We ask that you'd minister to them too. We can't imagine that stuff, Lord. But we know, Father God, you love each and every one of us, that you created each and every one of us in your own image. And Lord, we're asking that your Holy Spirit would work in this time, and Lord, that you would use this to bring revival, that you'd use this time to help draw all of us to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to be able to live obedient, pleasing lives to you. And then, Lord, we pray for our own church today. We pray for the Crawfords as they're away on vacation. Ask, Lord, that you give them good trip and safety home. We pray, Father God, for our family here, Lord, and I'm sure there's needs here. We have some praises, and we thank you for that. But we also, Lord, today ask that you'd minister to our deepest needs. Father God, we want you to care for us. We give ourselves to you. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would be able to come with open hands and say, Lord, do in my life what's pleasing to you. Lead us, Father, lead us. And now, Lord, as we go to look at your word and think on forgiveness, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and truly help us to hear from you. Help us to be willing to do whatever you lay on our hearts today so that you might transform us more in the likeness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to take your Bibles, we will be in Matthew 18. But as some of you know, I ask questions. Here's a statement that the Bible gives us. So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. What does freedom in Christ look like as a believer? That's a question I want an answer for. What does freedom in Christ, if you are, we say we follow Jesus Christ, that means then we have been set free. What does that freedom look like? And since I'm older, you got to speak louder.
You don't have to make the wrong choice.
You don't what?
You don't have to make the wrong choice.
Good. You don't have to make the wrong choice. I like that. We're free from shame. Good.
Free from bitterness.
Free from bitterness. Good.
Free from having to get it all together.
Wow. Free from having to get it all together. In other words, what you're saying there is that we're accepted unconditionally. We're free in that. Good. Free from condemnation, Romans 8, 1, 2, right? There is no condemnation. Pardon?
Free from
being perfect. Whoa. Any perfectionists here? It's tough, isn't it? I think it'd be, I'm not there, so it doesn't bother me. But yeah. How many of us live in that freedom and enjoy that freedom? How many of you are dog lovers? Any dog lovers here? Okay. I like dogs outside, can't be in the house, but anyhow. I was raised in the country back many years ago, and if you had a dog, most of the time it was on a chain tied to a doghouse. And if you ever saw the dog, the tape area around that, it was all beaten down because the dog would just do what? Run back and forth and back and forth. One day we looked up in our yard, and about probably 3/8 a mile away, there was a family that had a little beagle. And all of a sudden, this beagle comes running in our yard, but he had a 20-foot chain dragging. He thought he was free, right? But my dad said, hey, catch that dog quick, because if he runs away from here, he'll probably get that chain tangled into something that people won't be able to find him, and he'll die because of that. He thought he was free, but he wasn't free until he was unsnapped from the collar. I wonder how many of us as Christians are running around dragging a chain. Could be the chain of perfection. It could be the chain of having to prove myself. It could be the chain of bitterness. It could be, you know what I'm saying? You know what happens with that chain? Tell me about it. We get tangled, don't we? And you know what? One of the biggest ways that the chain we have is the chain of unforgiveness. And Jesus speaks very clearly to that. And that's what we want to look at today. As you look in your Bibles, in Matthew 18, let me read that passage to you. This is right after he's dealing with how do you confront a brother who's sinned against you. But here, Matthew 18, starting with verse 21. And I love Peter. Peter's my guy. Always open his mouth, say something. And he thought he was bright, but Jesus always had to correct him. Then Peter came up to Jesus and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay it, his master ordered him to be sold with his kids and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment be made. And so the servant fell on his knees imploring, "Have patience on me. I will repay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe me." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience on me, I will repay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw that he had taken what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to the master all that had taken place. And then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have mercy on your fellow servant as I have had mercy on you?" And in his anger, the master delivered him to the jailer until he should pay all his debt. Look at 35. "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother." Where? How? From your heart. Like I said, I love Peter. Peter came, and Jesus is just dealing with forgiveness, and Peter say, "Well, if I do it 7 times, that's good enough." See, Peter wanted justice, and Peter wanted something he could measure up to. And Peter was doing more than the rabbis taught, because they said you need to do at least 3. So he figured, I got it done. And what does Jesus say? No, 70 times 7. And really what Jesus is saying to him, forgiveness is grace and mercy. Forgiveness is a lifestyle. Because if you forgive somebody 490 times, well, either you're spreadsheeting it and you're too detailed if you keep track of it, or it has just become a way of life, right? And so forgiveness should be, Jesus is saying, forgiveness is a way of life out of mercy and grace. And then Jesus says, here, let me share a parable. Jesus says, a man owes the king 10,000 talents. You know how much that is? More than any of us here will make in our lifetime. They are figuring it's multiple, probably 15, 20 million in today's wages. And the king says, hey, you owe me all this money, and you have to pay it. In fact, because you haven't paid it, I'm going to sell you and your family and your wife to get the money. And he falls down on his knees and he starts begging. He says, but God, but king, but king, but king. Wait, I'll pay you back. And what's it say? It says the king had pity and he forgave the debt. Remember how much a debt he had? He had a debt that never could be repaid in his lifetime. And the king did what? Forgave him. And then he goes out, and we don't know how soon, but he went out and he grabbed somebody who owed him 100 denarii. A denarii was 1 day's wage. So this guy only owed him 100 days' wage. That's 3.5 months' wage, right? That's it. And he grabbed him and said, pay me back. And the guy, and he said, I'm going to put you in jail. But he said, no. He said, the guy pleaded and says, please, I'll pay you back. But the guy had him put in jail to pay it back. Was the guy just in doing that? Was the guy just in having him put in jail till he paid all back the debt back? It's an answer. Question. Yeah, he is. Was he morally right? No. You see, he'd done what just, but he wasn't morally right. And then his other servants went to the king and said, hey, this is what that wicked servant did. And look at verse 32. He said, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you. And then what does it say he did? You notice there's one difference here. He didn't sell the family. He just put him in the care of the jailer, delivered him to the jailers until he should pay every debt. What do we learn about forgiveness here? Well, let's apply that parable a little bit to ourselves. How does that apply to a fellow believer? We've been forgiven a debt that we can never repay. Is that right? And how often do we hold something against another brother or sister? And when we do that, what have we just done? We've showed lack of mercy. And see, this is where it comes to forgiveness, because Jesus made it very clear. Also, my heavenly Father will do for every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. What does it mean to forgive your brother from your heart? There's the key. If you look at Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Paul says, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ Jesus. That's the same thing. What does it mean to forgive from your heart? That's what I'd like us to think on today. I'd like us to take and really, the rest of the sermon is going to be, how do we apply this to our lives? First of all, I'd like us to discern what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not, what isn't forgiveness? Help me a little bit. Saying it was okay. Whoa, that's a good one. What else?
Being a pushover.
Being a pushover. What else? What?
Ignoring it.
Right. Anybody else?
Complete lack of consequences.
Complete lack of consequence. But it's not ours to make the consequences. It's God's. Another one is excusing it. Well, we'll just go on. Another thing is, I think we have a false understanding that forgiveness always has to equal reconciliation. I can forgive somebody and never be reconciled to them. Is that true? Come on, use your heads. Yeah. I can forgive somebody and never be reconciled. Because for reconciliation to happen, a couple things have to happen. First of all, the offender has to be repentant. The second, I have to forgive from my heart. Thirdly, the offender and I have to rebuild trust. And also, the offender has to be safe for us to be reconciled. Reconciliation, that's the goal of forgiveness, so we're tied back together. But it doesn't always happen. So what is forgiveness? Let me give you a definition I like to work with. Forgiveness is a decision of the will to release the offense against the offender by personally suffering or paying the penalty for the offense by God's grace. Can I share that again? Forgiveness is a decision of the will to release the offense against the offender by personally suffering or paying the penalty for the offense by God's grace. First of all, it's a decision of my will. Hey, let me let you in a secret. You're never going to feel like you want to forgive them. That low life, that scumball, that idiot. You know what I'm talking about? You don't feel that way. So it has to be a decision of my heart and my mind put together, because I've experienced the grace of God, that I am willing to forgive. Do you notice the second part of that, though? The second part of it is... I'm going to have to release the offense of the other person. That don't say I ignored it. I'm going to have to, in fact, personally, I'm going to have to pay the price. I like what Tim Keller says. Let me read something to you. True forgiveness always entails suffering. So the debt of wrong doesn't vanish. Either they pay for it, or you pay. But here's the irony. Only if you pay that price of forgiveness, only if you absorb the debt, is there any chance of righting the wrong. If you confront somebody with what they have done wrong while you've got vengeance in your heart, they will probably not listen. They'll sense that you are not seeking justice, but revenge. They'll reject anything you say. You'll just perpetrate the cycle of retaliation, retaliation, retaliation. Only if you have refrained from vengeance and paid the cost of forgiveness will you have any hope of getting them to listen to you, of seeing their own error. And even if you do not listen, even if they do not listen to you at first, your forgiveness breaks the cycle of further reprisal. If we know that forgiveness always entails suffering for the forgiver, and that the only hope of rectifying and righting wrongs comes by paying the cost of suffering, then it should not surprise us when God says, the only way I can forgive sin of human race is to suffer. Either you will pay the penalty for sin or I will. Sin always entails a penalty. Guilt can't be dealt with unless someone pays. The only way God can pardon us and not judge us is to go to the cross, absorb it into himself. I must suffer, said Jesus. Wow. I don't like that, do you? Let's be honest. You hurt me. And God calls me to forgive you, but not only forgive you, but what? Accept the hurt. Pay the penalty. That's what it means to forgive from our heart, folks. I'm willing to forgive from my heart. Because if you're honestly willing to forgive, it's going to hurt. And then you release them. Do you know what you do when you forgive like that? You unclick the chain. Because they have no one. Do you know when you have unforgiveness against another person, who's it hurting? Can't hear you there. Me. It's hurting us. We don't realize that. We always hurting it. A lot of times they don't care. They don't even realize. It's hurting who? Us. And we then continue to drag the chain. Clank, 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 clank. And the only way we break that is by us forgiving somebody from our heart. You want to get really personal now? I do. Because many times we question, how do I know if I'm struggling with unforgiveness? How do I know if I'm not living in the freedom? I'm going to share a couple diagnostic questions with you all just to think on. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody because I had to today, even when this morning I was praying this through, God brought to mind one of the things, and I'll share it in a minute. But here's the diagnostic questions to think on. Because so you can see whether you're struggling with unforgiveness. Do you find yourself dwelling on past hurts or offense and having a strong negative reaction? Do you find yourself negatively reacting when you hear the name, title, or accomplishment of a certain person? Do you find yourself having a past offense or hurt that hinders your personal walk with Jesus? Do you find yourself bitter towards a person who hurt someone close to you and you took on their offense? Did you hear that one? I'm working through one of those right now. I had to deal with that this morning. I have someone close to me that was hurt by a person. And I'd just like to... I didn't say that, did I? I would. I'd like to take the person and straighten them out. Why do you hurt that person? Do you see what I did? I left unforgiveness come into my heart. Even though that person didn't directly hurt me, it hurt somebody who's close to me. Do you find yourself holding on to hurt from the past because you want to get your justice? Did you hear that? Get your justice. It's not about our justice. It's about our Father's justice. Remember, As followers of Christ, Jesus paid it all, right? So are we like the wicked servant? And I'm going to make you pay? Yeah, yeah. That's where we're at. What's the result of unforgiveness in our lives? The result is bitterness. Bitterness is fermented unforgiveness or hurt. The longer one holds on to the past hurt, the more one becomes drunk on the pain and is robbed by their joy, robbed of their joy and grace in God. It affects all of us around because when we're bitter, we tend to gossip. When you're bitter and that person's name comes up, what do? You have some story to tell about them, right? To justify. Whoa. It turns me inward. It causes my hurt and unforgiveness to grow. Bitterness is the poison of unforgiveness we drink hoping someone else will die. And it keeps us from enjoying our full forgiveness and freedom in Christ Jesus. Here's another one. Sometimes we're bitter towards who? Huh? Yep. Somebody else. What's another person we're bitter towards that we? God. God, why do you let that happen? And how do we let go then? Again, God didn't do anything wrong. But you see how hurt can grow into bitterness. So what do we do with it, folks? We have to remember what? Forgiveness is a decision of the will to release the offense against the offender by personally suffering or paying the penalty for the offense by God's grace. I have over there laying on a chair. Hold those up, Gray, please. There's a whole bunch of those there, pamphlets right over here that you're welcome to have. And it really talks about how we deal with forgiveness. But if you're going to walk through forgiveness, number one, it has to become what? A decision of your will. Number two, we have to be at the place where we want to say, okay, God, I want to follow you, and I'm going to let you lead me in this. A lot of people say, well, I have to go and confront the person. Wait on that one. Let you work through all the forgiveness first. You may never talk to that person. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but you may never have to. The first thing, though, in prayer, you need to come before God and say, God, I choose to forgive so-and-so. And then go into detail about, say, for hurting me and telling how it hurt you. It's going to hurt you to forgive them, right? Why? Because you're paying the price. But if we don't do that, what did Jesus say? Unless you forgive from your heart. Whoa. That's God's call, folks. And I'll tell you what. I've seen some people work through forgiveness, and I've seen a freedom that you never imagined. I remember one gal that we worked with and went through freedom. I had two I can think of right now, but one person went through freedom and for forgiveness, and one said, I need help, I'm in bondage. And she shared about how as a young girl from age 8 to 12, her stepdad sexually abused her regularly. She became an alcoholic. She realized if she'd drink alcohol, her stepdad wouldn't do it. She became an alcoholic at age 12. She lived that life out. And she came to us one time and said, I need to forgive my stepdad. Really? You know what? She did. She walked through that process from her heart. And here's what happened 3 weeks later. 3 weeks later, she calls me and says, Dan, you got to go and care for my stepdad. What? This lowlife that hurt you? She says, yeah, he's dying. He's really committing suicide by not doing it. He was giving up on life. And we went and we ministered to him. I said, why? Why? And she said, I forgave him. I don't want him to go to hell. I don't want him to go to hell. And I believe you can share the gospel with him. Long story short, 4 years later, he came to Christ. The week before he died, he came to Christ. He called Kathy and says, Kathy, I got to ask you to forgive me because I know I did all this to you. Would you please forgive me? Do you see what God does through grace and mercy? Forgiveness has to become a lifestyle, folks. Why? Why? Help me. Because we've been forgiven. Because we've been forgiven. I'm that first servant, folks. I don't know about you, but I'm that first servant. I have a debt that I could never justify or repay, right? But God's forgiven how many of my sins? Each and every one of them. And they're not held against me. In fact, they're still in my mind, and I can still see them at times. But God said he has removed them as far as east is from the west. As we close, who or what situation is God laying on your heart right now, folks? Because God wants us to have that chain unhooked so we can live in freedom. A couple thoughts to ponder. Have you experienced our Father God's loving forgiveness through Jesus Christ? If you don't know that personal relationship and that full forgiveness through Jesus Christ, it's probably going to be a little tougher to forgive in the same way, right? But once we've received it, we have to go move on. Secondly, to what degree are you living out your full freedom in Jesus? Full freedom in Jesus is, number one, is I just accepted Christ and I'm still struggling with everything I've had in the past. Full freedom is I understand I'm a child of God, nothing to prove, nothing to lose, and I'm walking in freedom. How would you rank your life, 1 to 5? You have a number? You don't have to yell it out. What do you need to do to go the next step in freedom? Maybe it is forgiveness. Is there anyone who you need to forgive from your heart, just as Christ Jesus forgave us? The last one, are you quick to forgive others? Do you keep a short list? If you don't keep a short list, that chain's going to be, you know, with a short list, the chain's about this long. And you hear it dangle, you feel it slap you every now and then. But if you keep a long list, oh, that chain might be still coming up the steps for me. Let's pray. I'm going to give you some time just to meditate a little bit and think, God, what are you saying to me? Where do I go from here? And we'll see what, and then I'll close. Father God, thank you for accepting us as we are, and thank you for the transforming power and work you've done in us. Thank you for your full forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And Father, you know our hearts. Lord, I pray for each person here who may still be struggling with unforgiveness in some area. It may be from way back when, or it just could be this last week. Help us through grace to forgive from our hearts. Show us what we need to do, for we ask it in Jesus' name.